Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bible and if you would, turn to John 12. John 12. Read a passage of Jesus speaking to his disciples about what's about to happen. They're in Jerusalem. He's in the last days of his life before the cross, before he dies on the cross for you and me. And we're going to pick up reading in John 12, verse 23. Whatever version you got, why don't you read it out loud? And I'm going to read from... Well, I left my phone down there, so I'm going to read. Do we have it up on the screen? Because I'm wanting to read from the New Living Translation. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me." God, come speak to us today. Help me to communicate the simplicity of what you've put in my heart to share. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. Give us a heart to receive. Spirit of God, come in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Jesus right here in this brief passage is highlighting to his disciples what's about to happen to him. And he's giving them a picture of reality. Jesus is a master of disclosing truth so that only seekers can figure out what he's saying. People that are hungry to hear truth. He hides truth from people that are just observing. People that are just kind of just watching on the side. They're confused when they hear Jesus teaching. They get confused. Some of them get offended. Some of them get their feelings hurt, or they're just totally lost. But for the people that are following, listening to his words, listening carefully to his teaching, he redefines reality for them and speaks truth. He's really good at it. He uses word pictures and parables and stories to illustrate the truth of the kingdom of heaven, the truth of his word. And for you and I today, he doesn't just speak in pictures. He's going to bring about how to get it done. And I want you to hear today one word that God put in my heart when Pastor asked me to preach some time ago on this Sunday morning. And the word is planted. Planted. And as we look at this passage, I hope that I can bring about to you what it means and how much, what it means to be planted, and how much Jesus longs for you and I to be planted, both in him and planted in his house. Take a look. I want to point out four things, and if you are a note taker, I hope today you'll write these four things down that we see that Jesus is pointing out. And the first one, and of first of all, you'll have to forgive me if my words don't come out right. It's because I'm using my wife's Bible and not mine. My wife, guys, are down in Soldotna there with the Brackens ministering to the kids there. And I was there with them doing puppets. I've done puppets since I was 12. So for 37 years, I've done puppet shows. That's a long time. And I left my Bible there and didn't realize it until last night. I arrived late at my house, so I'm trying to use my wife's Bible, and it's hard. And I kind of relate it to driving someone else's car. I know how to drive a car, All the same things are exactly the same, except the mirrors are different. The seat's pushed way up. The steering wheel's all cranked up. And you're just like, how does anybody drive like this? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Don't you enjoy when someone borrows your car and you get back in it and everything's moved? What a wonderful thing. So I'm going to try to use Kimmy's Bible. It may not work as well as mine. Mine's better. And I've got this bright yellow paper that's blinding me. You like that? Four things that I think Jesus wants us to hear today, but they all hinge on the first one. And it's a decision that Jesus is laying out for his disciples. Right here at the very beginning of what he's saying to them, he's giving, the whole thing is a picture of what their life should truly be like. But he puts a decision or a choice at the beginning of it that they have to make on their own. And it's a choice of whether or not they're going to be one seed or many seeds. He can't make that choice for them. If he could, he would choose many seeds. But they have to make a personal decision of what the aim of their life is going to be like, what the pursuit of their life is going to be, what values they're going to hold, what goals they're going to set. What is my life really going to be about? He sets it before them because he's saying, unless a kernel of wheat is planted and dies, it remains one seed. Or it can be many seeds. He's putting two different options before them, and the decision is up to them. They have to choose whether their whole life is going to revolve around them, their likes, their values, their hopes and dreams. Are they going to put all of their life's energy into pursuing personal gain? Or would they be willing to trade all that, become more than just a person, and become many seeds? That's the first thing he's presenting to them. The rest of the passage hinges on the choice that they would want to become something greater than themselves. And in choosing that, he lays forth the rest of this as kind of a, how do I do that? That's why he says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground. He is talking about himself. He's giving them a picture of what he's about to do. He knows the cross is the next thing on God's calendar. He knows what's about to happen to him. He doesn't really want to go through the cross. He asks God to change his plans in the Garden of Gethsemane. There you go. It's her Bible. If I don't say it right, it's her Bible. It wasn't really me. I'm using the wrong Bible. Gethsemane. He doesn't want to die on the cross, but he knows it's coming. That's why he prayed in the garden, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. He didn't really want to go through all of the suffering he's about to go through. I'm so thankful that he did. I get to be here today because he did, and so do you. And he uses this word, unless. He's saying, you can choose to make your whole life about what you think a successful life is really about, or you can trade it. We have the same choice before us on a daily basis. So not only is he alluding to what he's about to do for all mankind, he's linking it to their life, saying in the same way, how I'm becoming a seed to produce many seeds, your life can be a seed that produces many seeds. Let me tell you how to do that. That's what he's saying here. See, God is concerned about you and I being fruitful with the life that he purchased, that he paid for. He's concerned that you and I would have something to show for the price that he paid for you. Some kind of visible expression about what's happened on the inside of you and what God is doing on the inside of you. God's concerned about you producing seeds, plural. Something beyond just you. The word today here that I'm bringing you starts right here, unless a kernel of seed is planted. I almost said Colonel Sanders. Is anybody hungry for lunch right there? Same word, spelled different. Who dreamed up English? So strange. That's why he's saying you have to be planted. The word today is be planted. And he goes on here to tell us exactly what does that mean, to be planted and to produce many seeds. God is concerned. He's so concerned. Turn in your Bible, just kind of flip over there or scroll down or however your Bible works, and look at John 15. He's concerned about us being fruitful. John 15, let's read a few of these. I hope you've heard them before. I'm here to remind you of them today. Maybe you want to underline this, highlight it. I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Right here at the beginning of this passage, he is giving a warning. Not only is he concerned about us having fruit in our life, he's warning us that there is the potential of having no fruit in your life. Nothing on the outside that says what Jesus has done on the inside. And he's giving a warning to his disciples. Hey, you better have something that shows for what I did for you. Take a look at this. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God is concerned that your life has some external evidence of an internal transformation that has taken place. If you have not had that happen inside you, today is your day. Jesus is ready to come inside you and to bring about life, to change all of the dead things into life. That's why he died on the cross, so you could be alive on the inside. So despair and depression can go and brokenness can go, and he can bring in a new life. You're the reason that he said one seed in the ground produces many new lives. You have the opportunity to receive what Jesus did for you and to have a new life. The old go away and everything become new. To go on the greatest adventure you have ever been on. But you must be planted in Jesus. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Starts with us making this decision that we're going to remain in him. It's the same choice that Jesus said earlier. We have to make a decision that we're going to be planted in Jesus. That's very different than making church some observation that you just do on Sunday just to come see what's going on. Or those of you that might be online and maybe you're not able to join us and you just are you know, looking for something to fill your time, so you decided to watch. That's very different than remaining in Jesus. The decision to be planted in Jesus is a high commitment. It's an all-in commitment. That decision to be a life that's more than just you is a high commitment to be planted and stay planted in Jesus. Not to be planted on Sunday and then transplanted somewhere else on Monday. Or even leave here and clap, that was great. I'll come back next week, and in between, I'm going to do my own thing. That's not remaining in Him. That's a different set of values. Jesus is talking about being planted in Him. Fruitfulness comes from being planted in Jesus. Let's go on to the next thing. So number one, the choice between one seed and many seeds. The second thing, in bearing fruit and being someone that produces many seeds, you and I have to embrace a very unusual contradiction. Not just hear it and say that's great, but we have to embrace it and become it. Look at this next scripture in John 12. Look at verse 25. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Living for Jesus does not make sense if you define it how the world defines successful life. It's very different. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't think the same. To keep my life, I have to lose it. It sounds strange, doesn't it? To a casual observer, it doesn't make sense. But to someone planted in Jesus, oh, we understand what that means. See, there's a trading there that takes place. When you make a high commitment decision that I'm going to be planted in Jesus, there's a number of things that you decide you're going to trade away for something better. It reminds me of how the Bible describes Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. Would you turn there? And again, I'm going to try to find it in my wife's Bible. I'm not sure it's going to help me, but we'll try. Hopefully it's in the same order as mine. Hebrews chapter 11, would you take a look at that? Look at the way it describes Moses' perception that sounds an awful lot like someone losing their life to gain it. Hebrews 11, look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses had everything that you and I would consider to be a successful life. He could have anything he wanted. He had it all. All the people of Egypt adored him. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All the riches and wealth, all the authority and power, it's all there. And yet something inside him says there's something better than this. And he makes the decision to put all that on the side and to pursue what God had for him, because he saw it as of greater value than all this stuff, all of the riches, all of the authority that I could have right over there, I'm going to trade, because there's something coming worth more than that. And that is what Jesus is talking about exactly the same. In our life, If we're going to pursue being a person that produces many seeds, and we're going to be someone who's more than just ourselves, we're going to have that same mentality that there are things I'm not going to embrace, I'm not going to pursue, I'm not going to chase after. I'm going to pursue what God has for me. And in doing so, we find that there's a life that we didn't know about. It's greater than all of the things that we pursued or could have pursued. There's an exchange there. The contradiction we have to embrace. It's directly linked to us being fruitful and producing fruit in our life. The next thing I want to bring about, all these work together to make us something more than ourselves. The next thing I want to point out here is back in John chapter 12. If you're writing notes, number three. Number one was we have to decide to be one seed or many seeds. Number two, there's a contradiction we have to embrace. Three, there is a direct link in following Jesus and serving. Serving Jesus is following Jesus, and following Jesus is serving Jesus. He puts them together in the same sentence. He's linking them together. Look what he says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." Following Jesus as a servant. Think about some of the other passages that Jesus either told a story or brought about truth, speaking to the disciples. What comes to my mind, first of all, is the story of the Good Samaritan, where he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." In another passage just right after this one in John, he says there's no greater love than that anyone could have, that he lay his life down for others. He says, "This is my command to you, love one another." In his final hours before the cross, he sets an example and washes his disciples' feet, the God of all creation, humbling himself and wiping all the mud and things off of his disciples' feet. And he's setting a model before them of what it means to serve. Following Jesus means putting other people before yourself. Serving, seeing others. Did you know that in the kingdom of God, the value of serving others is higher than the value of serving yourself? In God's great scale of values, serving yourself is lower than serving other people. The emphasis on serving and following Jesus. I've got a couple of stories. I love Kings. One of the reasons I'm still a part of Kings, I've been on staff for 25 years here, 15 in Maui, and I'm on my 10th year here. And one of the things I love about Kings is this is good soil to get planted in the realm of serving. We are very concerned about looking good on Judgment Day, about having fruit to show for our life, something more than just I showed up to watch what was happening. I got engaged. I did something for Jesus because of all he's done for me. We're very concerned about that. We want to hear well done on Judgment Day. Good job. And that's one of the things I love about Kings. When I hear Jesus say, "Get planted," I'm so thankful for a church like this where I can get planted and I can grow. Because my family and I have been planted in Kings for such a long time, we're extremely fruitful. We've stayed connected. Not everything went the way we wanted. Can I just say that? Not everything, not every decision is a decision I would want made. But I've stayed connected. I've stayed planted. I've gotten past a fence. I've moved through intense pressures, seasons of grinding out and seasons of I wonder what's happening. Lord, what are you doing in my life? I've stayed connected. I've stayed planted. And my wife and I are extremely fruitful because of it. And I'm so thankful. This is a good church to get planted in. That's my word for you today. Get planted so you can be fruitful. Start serving Jesus in some way. We have coming up our fall rally, and then you know, it looks like it appears fall's coming way earlier than we wanted to. I don't know what that is up on the mountain, but it's too early. What is that about? This fall, we're emphasizing our great goal is 200 life groups. And I'm encouraging us today in the realm of one of the things is getting serving, because we want you to be fruitful, either as a host or an assistant or a life group leader serving on a team. When my wife and I were just engaged, we had been put in charge of a missions trip that our school or college that was doing. And for some reason, somebody had an idea to put me in charge of something, which I thought was strange. So I did my very best, and we were about to leave to go on this missions trip to the Big Island of Hawaii. We weren't going to work with the Kings. It was a different church. And we went to go say goodbye to my grandma. And we visited her, and she lived in one of these retirement duplexes. Well, her neighbor comes over, and her neighbor's name was Patsy. And Patsy had a brown paper bag with her that looked like it had seen better days. And Patsy says, "I heard you're going to minister to children this summer. I thought maybe you could use these. Have you ever had someone give you a gift and you didn't know how to respond?" "Yeah, well, that's happened to me a lot, so I don't really open gifts in front of the person that gave it to me, because sometimes I'm just like, thank you so much." Has that ever happened to you? Maybe not you, but it happens to me. So Patsy hands me this, and I decided I'm not going to open this right here. Thank you, Patsy. And we get in the car, and we're driving off, and I decided to open it, the brown paper bag there, and I opened it up, and what was inside... she said she was going to throw them away, but she thought maybe I could use them. Oh, thank you so much. So I opened it up, and inside are these old, beat-up, weather-beaten puppets that look like they look like 5 miles of bad road. No wonder she was going to discard them. They probably should have been discarded. So I'm pulling them out. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Well, I pull this one out, and I'm like, I wonder if I could do something with this. So I put it on my hand, and that's kind of how I start with a puppet, is I just talk to it and try to make it talk back. And if it doesn't talk back, I just get rid of it. Well, this one talked back to me, and I came up with a voice, and I was like, why don't we try this when we're on this missions trip? And my wife had not been the role of the person outside the puppet stage before. She didn't know what to do. And so here's what we did. I said, I'll go behind the puppet stage and I'll put this puppet up and I'll tell you what to say. And then you say it and then the puppet will respond. So this is what it looked like. Hi, everybody.
Say this. Now say this.
So clunky. So unprofessional. The kids could probably hear me telling her what to say. My voice is kind of loud. It's probably going right through the curtain. So unpolished. But we started on that missions trip with a puppet that we did not know was going to become everyone's favorite no matter where we go. His name's Harry. You've heard of Harry. He's on YouTube. He has a YouTube channel. He's a celebrity wherever he goes. He's been all over the world. My wife and I have done over 2,000 shows with this garage sale beat up puppet that started with just me saying,
"Now say this."
When we finished that missions trip, the pastors of that church invited us to move back there and keep doing Harry. Oh, okay. I didn't really want to do children's ministry. I had other ideas. It's just what I get invited to do. And no matter where I go, everybody wants Harry to show up. He's the star of the show. So my wife and I moved back there, and some folks in the church caught wind that we did an awesome puppet show. You know, I'm here,
and I'm telling her what to do.
That was an awesome puppet show to them. So they invited us to go to the public libraries throughout the whole state, the whole island on the Big Island. So we would go from public library to public library, and the local schools would bring their classes of little kids to watch us at their public libraries. And I was still telling her what to say behind the stage.
Now do this.
Wasn't very glamorous. No matter where we go, for 25 years now, kids scream and shout, "Harry, Harry." Didn't start with a professional stage. I had no puppet stage. I had no sound system. But I started with something. What I could do, I did that. And God has allowed tens of thousands of children to hear the gospel because of Patsy's gift to me. And I just did something with it. We were just in Soldotna last week, this weekend, however you want to say it. And I decided I was going to do Harry again. And I can't really do that puppet too much anymore because my voice is taking a beating over 25 years of doing that puppet. But I decided to bring him out of the dust the cobwebs off. And guess what? Harry, Harry. They go crazy. They lose their mind. I want to encourage you in your serving. It's directly linked to following Jesus. It doesn't have to look polished and professional. Just do something and let God make something out of it. Just do whatever's next that you could do. If you're already serving on a team or as a life group, keep going, because number four is amazing. The fourth thing, the fourth part of what Jesus is saying here, he's going to honor you. God's going to honor all who serve him. One more fun story. My cousin was about 11 years old. I was living on Maui, and he decided he was going to learn how to play the drums. He drove us insane. Could not keep a beat. He's just hitting stuff, and it's like, make it stop. Please, I'm pulling my hair out. Make it stop. He was terrible. He got a little bit better after a year, and then a little bit better, but he started off absolutely horrible. But he progressed to the point where he could play along with a song. And so my uncle, Pastor Chris, who wrote Birthday of a King, he's our pastor in Branson, he was in a predicament in starting our church in Oahu where he didn't have a drummer, but he had his son, my cousin. And so he's like, get over there on those drums and just play the same beat every song. I mean, it was clunky, it was awful, but that was his first playing for a worship setting. A year and a half goes by, we were hosting. He became the drummer of the cathedral in Maui. And we were having a conference in Maui, and we were hosting a musical guest. Her name was Carrie Job. And while we're there, Carrie Job sees my cousin playing drums and invites him to go on tour with her. So he leaves home. Goodbye, everyone. I'm going on tour with Carrie Job. I think that's a pretty good idea. He goes on tour with Carrie Job all over the world, gets better and better and better at it. He ends up playing drums and helping open for some of the musical groups that you hear on the radio today. He got to be some of their opening drum. He got to be the drummer for some of their beginnings. While they would go on tour, they would realize they didn't have a drummer, and they would say, hey, would you go play drums? Her name's Lauren. Would you go play drums for her? And over, he gets connected with a church called the Belonging Co., and he lives in Nashville now. And he ends up writing a song that we sing all the time. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. My cousin wrote that. The horrible drummer who just started and didn't quit. In our life, Jesus is pulling us out of just watching and observing and letting someone else do it and saying to us today, get planted in a ministry, get planted on a team, get planted in a life group, and watch what I do with your life. But it doesn't start if you're not willing to get planted. It's what God's saying to us today. And in my final point here, God's going to honor you. You can't read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Mr. Keyboard, go ahead and join us, Mr. Keyboard. You can't read the Sermon on the Mount and not figure out God's a rewarder. He rewards those diligently, wholeheartedly seek Him. He's a rewarder over and over in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Luke 18, he makes it abundantly clear that he recognizes there are people that are going to leave family, leave jobs, leave homes, leave everything to follow him and serve him. He clearly knows there's going to be people that do that. They abandon everything to follow Jesus. So he says to them, no one, whoa, that was really loud, sorry. No one who leaves mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and homes and nations and comforts, no one who leaves that is going to fail to receive 100 many times more in this life and in the life to come. Someone willing to be more than a single seed is going to be blessed by God, honored by God. It's a part of what he's saying to him. But the choice starts at the beginning. Are you willing to be planted? If you're visiting here and you're looking for a good church, this is a great place to get planted. If you're visiting here and I don't know what church you might be from, I'm encouraging you today, get planted in your church and get fruitful. Start producing some fruit. Starts by, as Jesus said, it starts by getting planted in him. If you remain in me and I in you, you're going to produce a lot of fruit. Are you planted in Jesus today? Are you planted in the one who gave everything he had for you? Are you planted in him? I'm going to invite you to stand this morning as we take time to reflect on being planted, both in Jesus and in the house of God. I want you to see a couple of scriptures here. The first one is in Psalm 92. They could bring that up on the screen. I want you to take a look at this. The godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. There is blessing in a planted life. One more, I want you to take a look. And there's many more that we could read, but I want to point out Jeremiah 17. Why don't you take a look at this? It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank. With roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Planted. It's the word today. Get planted. We're going to take time to pray this morning. Maybe you've never received what Jesus did for you. You hear me say, get planted in Jesus, and you're not sure if you are planted in Jesus. You have to make a decision to receive what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross so that you could be forgiven of all that you've done, that all the sin that you've done, you can be forgiven, can be washed clean. And you can be planted in the life giver himself, in Jesus. Rose from the dead so that you could have eternal life both here and in the life to come. You can experience heaven here and heaven to come. Why don't you do that today? I want you to be fruitful with the life that you have. You can be fruitful, but it starts by receiving Jesus and being planted in him. Why don't you bow your head with me this morning? And that's just so that you can have a private moment between you and the Lord as I ask you one last time, are you planted in Jesus? Maybe you used to be planted in him and you pulled yourself out. Or maybe some of the cares of life have caused you to wonder if you're still in him. Make a decision today to come to Jesus, to be reconciled with God, to be at peace between you and God, to be made right with God. I'm going to invite you to pray with me this morning. And if you need to receive Jesus, don't let today pass you by without making a heartfelt, high commitment to be planted in Jesus. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Say it right out loud. Make this your prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive today what Jesus did for me. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for me. And he rose from the grave so I could be forgiven and have heaven my home. I turn away from sin. I repent and I turn to you. I want to be planted in you the rest of my life. Make me fruitful from this moment on. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hands this morning? And even as I shared this word, maybe the Lord's quickened to you this upcoming season or even today that it's time to get planted in a team or on a life group. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you that today there are individuals that made a distinct decision in their heart. Here, those that are online, that they're going to be planted in you. Whether for the first time or they've come back to you. I pray, God, today there would be a new life. Hearing your voice, operating by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, touch them today. May they start hearing you and sensing your presence in a greater way than they ever have before. The joy of following you. Father, even as we take time to pray this morning, I know this word is for right now. Today, that it's time to get fruitful with our life, to have something to show with for what you did for us on the outside, demonstrating what's happened on the inside, being life givers. God, I pray that you would open wide doors of ministry, maybe King's School of Ministry, life groups, teams, people stepping out in faith, believing that you could use them. Lord, you gave me a puppet. I just stuck it on and did something with it. I just tried. Lord, there's many people today. They're going to do the same thing, whether serving on a team, whether getting involved in a life group as an assistant or a host or leader. I pray that you would direct their step. You'd cause them to be fruitful as they pursue you, as they pursue being more than just a single seed. Stir up this body of believers to follow you, to serve you. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.